So welcome to that. We're going to do a praise Sunday. And this morning as we're singing, you can stand, you can sit. You know, there may be times where we as a church, as a group, just stand up together. But if you're tired or whatever, don't worry about standing the entire time. I don't want anyone locking their knees and falling over, anything like that. I don't know CPR. Actually, I was in a church. I was in a church, my first church. And we had a choir. This church had a choir. And there was a guy, and we had told him multiple times that he didn't have to tie his tie tied at all. But he insisted that he do this. And on two separate occasions, live on a Sunday morning, as he's singing, there's nothing more worshipful than a holy flop going behind you as he face plants on the stage. So please, please worship without passing out this morning, if you could just do that. So if it means sitting, standing, that's fine. We always invite, the front rows are always empty, so you can lay out on those. But we want to do a Sunday morning where we're gonna all participate in our service together. And we're going to praise and worship. And we're going to start this out. We're going to talk about praise in three different phases. You can go as deep as you want on this topic, but we're going to focus on three today. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, God is creating the world. You know, in the beginning, God created. And he creates the planets and all of this stuff. And on the second day, it talks about how he separated the waters, and he made the heavens. He created the atmosphere. How many of you are glad you're breathing oxygen today? Anybody? Anybody in the room glad you're breathing oxygen? And as we look around, you know, we see it's spring right now, and the rain is causing things to grow, and it's green, and it's beautiful. I mean, I'm thankful that we live on a planet where God created an environment for things to grow. And I want us to think of worship that way in a church service. Worship creates the environment for healthy things to happen in a church. When a church worships, God moves. When a church worships, God heals, God restores. And we're going to be walking through that. And this morning, I want an atmosphere of worship in this place for God to move. Later on, we'll see King Saul was troubled in his spirit. His atmosphere was not very good. And he would ask David to come play for him. And in his troubled mind, David would come play, and the Bible says that David played skillfully. And as David played skillfully in worship to the Lord, it began to calm Saul down. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, where maybe you're having a rough day and you just put on some praise music and the atmosphere just changes. I saw this demonstrated a few months ago on a Saturday morning. My two youngest kids, Kyler and Emma, I don't know what was going on. I was in the kitchen. I don't know if you've ever had this experience at your house, but I was in the kitchen just doing my thing, and I just heard squabbling break out. And the squabbling didn't stop. And I don't know if you ever found this true too, but their squabbling was about dumb stuff. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try something. I did an experiment that morning, and I put on YouTube, and I just typed in worship songs, and I started playing worship songs in our house, and I turned the volume up. And in about 15 to 20 minutes, the squabbling just stopped. And there was just this calm that came over. There's something when you invite praise into the room that changes everything, that changes the atmosphere. Are you coming this morning expectant of what God's going to do? Then let's start by praising God and worshiping God. Let's create an atmosphere in this place for God to move this morning. Amen? We're going to break into a couple more songs, and I just want to encourage you. You can stand. You can sit. Maybe Dave will just tell everyone to stand and just do what Dave says, okay? But hey, for this one, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to make you stand for this next one. But we want to praise our God. And let's just declare the word of the Lord in this house and in this world, proclaiming that Jesus is coming one day. You can have a seat again if you want to. We're celebrating, not really celebrating, but remembering Memorial Day this weekend and all those people who have fought for our country, gone into battle. In Israel, in the Old Testament, in America, we have this idea of like let's build up our defense and have, and now they're doing the golden dome thing and all of that. God had a little different plan in the Bible a lot of times. There was this one story, and I'm sure if you've ever attended Sunday school ever, you've heard this one in Joshua chapter 6, where God says, "Hey, you're going to go take the land that I promised you." And here's the battle plan. And I've often thought about what it would have been like to have been in this strategy meeting with all the Israeli generals. Joshua comes in and says, "Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around a wall and just have music playing. That's what we're going to do." You know, and I'm thinking, you know, we've had campaigns in America where we've attacked other people. We call it shock and awe. And all this stuff. And God's plan with Israel on that time was, "Hey, you're just going to walk around the wall, and we're just going to have our praise band just play." And you'll read the story. The word continuously is used over and over and over. And that word continuously, it's used for having the musicians play. That's what they were doing. To be led into battle, and it's so counterintuitive of what we would think they should do, like get the catapults, start launching the donkeys, you know, whatever you need to do to take Jericho down. And God says, "Hey, I want you to be obedient in this battle to what I've commanded you to do." So that's what they did. And then it came time as they'd walked around and preparing in worship as the musicians were playing, and they played continuously. And God said, "It's time," and they shouted. And when they shouted, the walls fell down. And there's something to be said, when the church worships, the walls fall down. And you're going to see this later on, King Jehoshaphat. They've got three tribes coming in on Israel. And Jehoshaphat, obviously, is extremely worried about this situation. He goes out and he prays. And he prays and he prays and he prays. And then God says to do this. He says, "I want you to gather the singers." That's what I want you to do. That's what God says. There's armies coming upon them. And again, could you imagine if the United States were being attacked and Donald Trump says, "Okay, guys, who wants to be in the choir?" But that's what Jehoshaphat does. Is he gathers the singers and he has all of Israel come out. And they just have a praise service. And the Bible says as they were singing that God moved against the armies and they were defeated. Spiritual battle takes place when we worship, when we praise, when we lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's let God win the battles in our lives. Let's let God win the battles in our church. Those things that we can't fight against, those forces that are coming that are bigger than us, we serve a God that is bigger than them. And there's something about when the church comes together and we worship and we sing a song like, "Hey, y'all, Jesus is coming. And when he's coming, you're going to be running." And there's something that the church needs to understand, that we have victory in Jesus. And when we come together, we're not just singing songs. I was talking to our worship team Thursday night about this. We're not singing songs. We're entering into battle. We're entering into spiritual warfare. We're creating an atmosphere in the room for God to move. This isn't just songs. And my heart is for our church that this would move beyond just songs. But this would move the channel of heaven to move in this place. That when we lift up praise and worship and invite God into the room, that this becomes more than, "Okay, we did four songs this Sunday, check." That we invite the Lord to come in and begin to win these battles that we cannot on our own. Have you ever faced a battle in your life you can't win? Yes. Praise. Praise. Fill your room with praise. Fill your car with praise. Fill your house with praise. and watch the walls fall down. We're going to continue on. Again, you can stand, you can sit if you want to. You can stay standing, you can be seated for a moment. One of my favorite stories in the Bible comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16. Many of you will know it as the story of Paul and Silas. And they're in prison, and they're locked up, and if you see how Roman prisons were, it was not pleasant. Some slivers in their arms, and they were tied to these stocks, these wooden stocks. And I don't know how many of you are good at throwing pity parties in your life. Anybody, just you're a pro at throwing pity parties. And you would like to invite people over to those pity parties. I think all of us have been guilty of that in our life. You know, like, oh, Eeyore's come to church today. That's great. And what you see in that story is, again, not normal human responses. They're in this prison. And what did they decide to do? The Bible says that they begin to sing. And they begin to praise. And they take the focus off of their own problems. And they begin to focus on Jesus. And that's what praise does. Praise takes the focus off of ourselves and what's going on and puts the focus on the one who can take care of what the problem is. And that's what praise does. And here they are, they're locked up, they're chained. They can't do anything about it. And yet as they praise, it's God who brings the breakthrough. Breakthrough is a military term. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Breakthrough was the place where the enemy had the most strategic spot in the battle. And what an army would do is they would go after that place. And that would be where the breakthrough happened. And when the breakthrough happened, the entire enemy would fall apart. And breakthrough is one of those things where we deal with, some for years. Maybe for some of you, it's your kids that need to come back to Jesus. And you've just been saying, God, I'm just praying for my kid right now. And you feel like you're in that prison and you're just looking at the darkness of watching what's going on in your family or whatever. We serve a God of the breakthrough. Or people who've dealt with a physical ailment for years. We serve a God of the breakthrough. Where we don't hear answers for a long time and then boom, God shows up. And that's what praise does. Praise invites the breakthrough. Takes the attention off of ourselves and it puts it on Jesus. And so, God, in this prison that I'm in this dark place, the Bible says that they were having a praise service at midnight. I thought about doing that here at Journey. Like, hey, we're going to have service at midnight. Let's see who shows up for that. And here they are in this darkest place, no way to escape. And what do they choose to do at midnight? They choose to praise. And the Bible says that when they praised, an earthquake began to happen. And listen, when God comes through with the breakthrough, there is nothing that can stop our God. And it unlocks their chains. It unlocks the prisoners' chains around them to the point where the Roman guards is going to kill himself because he's realized he's derelict of his duties. The prison, when your prisoners get unlocked from their chains, your job, you failed at your job. He ends up getting saved. It's amazing how your praise will not only bring your breakthrough, it may bring the people in your life a breakthrough as well. There's something that happens that unlocks heaven when we praise. We're going to do something really different. We don't normally do this. And visitors, I'm sorry for what's about to happen. Normally what we do is that at the end of the third song, we kind of have this pattern going on. We're creatures of habit as humans, aren't we? Aren't we? At the end of the third song, we have a prayer team go back because we do believe in the power of prayer here. And if anyone has a need of any kind, they can go back and they can pray with that prayer team. But is anybody in this room a Christian this morning? You've given your life to Christ. You're a follower of Jesus. The same power that was in Jesus when he was risen from the dead is in you. that sometimes what we've made prayer is, oh, this certain person prays or these certain people pray. No, no, no. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're in the family of God, we can pray for one another. And I'm going to ask some of you in this room to do something bold. You need a breakthrough. Would you raise your hand? You need a breakthrough. I don't know who it is. Maybe one, maybe two, just a couple. Come on. We're amongst family here. We don't need to be afraid. You need breakthrough. There's a couple of hands being raised right now. And guys, would you be bold? I know this is a big ask. Would you be bold and just keep your hands raised? And I want, Christians, I want you to look around the room and see these people with hands raised. I want you to surround them. We're going to pray for that right now. Would you just get up, church, wherever these hands are raised, begin to lay your hands on these people. And church, just start to pray. Just begin to pray.
Adopted from a prayer before taking communion, and it's a nice little prayer, and it'll help guide us this morning. So let's pray this first part together. Lord Jesus, I bow before you in humility and ask you to examine my heart today. Show me anything that is not pleasing to you. Reveal any secret pride, any unconfessed sin, any rebellion or unforgiveness that may be hindering my relationship with you. I know that I'm your beloved child, having received you into my heart and life, and having accepted your death as penalty for my sinfulness. The price you paid covered me for all time, and my desire is to live for you. If you'll take the bread and just hold this and contemplate this next part of this prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. As I take the bread representing your life that was broken for me, I remember and celebrate your faithfulness to me and to all who will receive you. I can't begin to fathom the agonizing suffering of your crucifixion, yet you took that pain for me. You died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your extravagant love and unmerited favor. Thank you that your death gave me life, abundant life now, and eternal life forever. As you instructed your disciples, I too receive this bread in remembrance of you. Let's take it together. If you'll take the cup, next part of the prayer. And in the same way, as I take this cup representing your blood poured out from a splintered cross, I realize that you were the supreme sacrifice for all my sin, past, present, and future. Because of your blood shed for me and your body broken for me, I can be free from the power and penalty of sin. Thank you for your victory over death. You took the death that I deserved. You took my punishment. Your pain was indeed my gain, and today I remember and celebrate the precious gift of life you gave me through the blood that you spilled. Let's take and drink. Wait, the Lord softens us up. I remember those days with the hard heart, and I remember today of the new heart, the heart of flesh that he's given to us, every believer, everyone that will say yes to Jesus. That's what this commemoration is about. And we're going to conclude with this little prayer. Each time I take communion, Lord, I want to recommit my life, my heart, my thoughts, my everything to you. fill me today with your powerful spirit. And as I leave this place, help me hold this fresh remembrance and the story that never grows old close to my heart. Again, that new heart you gave me, Lord. Help me to share its message faithfully as you give me opportunity. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.
We're going to sing one last song. Hey, would you stand with us for this?
And as we sing this song, let these words, let these lyrics enter your heart. What a great song to end the service with after communion. Our living hope. We serve a risen Savior.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of
Jesus, you're
what he did for you on the cross in your own way. Jesus, thank you that you gave your life freely for us. Amen. For that blood that was poured out on the cross so we could stand here today. That you made a way to where we could boldly come before the throne. Jesus, we love you. God, I pray for every believer in this room that they would stand strong in the power of Christ, that whatever life throws at them, that we would first come to praise, that we would pray like we talked about a couple weeks ago, that we would look to you, that we would look up to the heavens. Help us to be people that praise. And we love you. God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for these people that love you. God, I pray that they would see your power in their lives every day. And we love you today, Jesus. May they go from this place being filled with your spirit and your power today. And we love you. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. 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 Hey, thanks for coming today, church.
Hallelujah.